I still kept at it. I didn't really care about the views. I didn't care about the thing. I just like, I still have a year. I'm going to keep going. But if I didn't set that goal for myself and just lived on what was happening in that first month or month two, I would have definitely given up because I wasn't getting essentially what I hoped for.
Hey, welcome back to the Hive Podcast. It's been a quick minute since we've had new episodes. Taking breaks are good. Anything you do creatively, you got to take a break because it keeps you motivated to go out there and keep creating. So I'm happy to be recording new episodes of the podcast for you guys and, of course, have amazing guests on. And I'm very excited for this week's guest. It's someone whose YouTube channel I came across when I was researching getting the Blackmagic Ursa G2. I love that camera. I was doing some research on it, and I came across this fantastic channel of a DP, and every single one of his videos seemed like little short films. The quality of them was so good, and so I'm excited to have this guest on. Let's just bring him on the show. Carlo Stigliano, what's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for having me today. I'm super excited to be on here.
I'm super excited to have you on. Your channel is absolutely fantastic. The quality is insane. Like I said, like watching every single one of your videos is like watching a almost like a short little film. The quality is just so good. I appreciate all the effort you put into them. And just say also real quick why I notice it? I love the sweater you're wearing right now. It's absolutely fantastic. Dude,
honestly, Marshalls, $10 from Marshalls.
That's awesome. For anyone listening,
yeah, I'm a big fan too.
Yeah, he's wearing this just awesome kind of like tie-dye-ish Sublime sweater. It's awesome. I love Sublime. Good stuff. Yeah. Well, Carlo, for anyone who hasn't come across your channel yet, they definitely should. They need to be watching it. Links down in the description, of course. Go check out Carlo's channel, but give them a quick rundown of who you are and what you do and the content you're creating over on YouTube.
So I'm a DP. I am based in Philadelphia, but I work a lot in New York. I travel a lot as well. But my YouTube channel is really based around the life of a cinematographer and what that really consists of. And I try to stay away from the technical side of things. I do talk about cameras. I talk about lighting a lot. But there's a lot of review channels. There's a lot of tech channels. And I knew that that wasn't my strong suit. So I wanted to gear my channel more towards the personal side of being a cinematographer. So I talk a lot about mental health. I talk a lot about what it's like to be on jobs, what it's like to have relationships, how to grow relationships, the business side of being a DP. And I also started doing a lot more raw behind the scenes so people can actually get an understanding of what it's like to be on set and see the communication that goes on. Because as a DP, your job isn't really to just light and put the camera in a position and then you're done. Your job is to be a manager, especially when you got on certain sets and the scale and the size of it. Your job is really to be a manager. So having those videos out where people get to really see that side of a DP allows people to open up their viewpoint to see what that position is really like on a real set. So yeah, I think my channel is just more on the personal side, and I like to talk about things that really aren't talked about too often, especially mental health and relationships and things along that.
I think that's so important because it is a segment of the industry that's missing on YouTube. Like I said, I came across your channel initially because I was getting the Ursa G2 and I wanted to see some videos and like, you know, just all the gear nerd stuff, what accessories people are using, how they've been using their camera. And I love that your channel evolved past that, that you're talking about more of the behind the scenes stuff, because there are plenty of tutorials. There are plenty of gear reviews, but there is all this other knowledge out there that people need to have and experience they need to have on set, whether it is a professional set, working as a camera operator, whatever your position is on set. And even on YouTube, a lot of that stuff carries over to the creative community. Relationships, super important no matter what you're doing. And there's just not enough people talking about that. I want to talk about your journey a little bit into YouTube. What came first? Was it being a DP and you decided to start a YouTube channel? Or was it the YouTube channel like, I love cameras, I want to do more of this, I want to become a DP? What came first?
So I would say I was more of a DP than YouTube, but to be totally honest, I was more of a PA than YouTube.
Okay.
So I got inspired to start my YouTube channel through my mentor, Danny Gewirtz. At this point, I was his first apprentice. So I was working with him every week. And at this point, I think he was maybe at 20 or 30,000 subs. So compared to where he is now, much smaller. So I got to see what it was like for a creator like him to actually be creating things for his audience, for his YouTube, and simultaneously be creating work as a DP. So I got to see both sides. And I think now where I am, I'm in a very similar spot to where he was when I was his apprentice. And he pretty much just kind of convinced me to start one. And COVID happened. I had not much going on. I was like, I'm just gonna do it. I had no real goal behind it. I didn't put too much pressure on myself to have anything accomplished, really. I was just like, I'm going to create something and I'm going to dedicate a whole year and see what I could do. But at that point, I was more of a PA and occasionally doing some DP stuff and then YouTube.
I love that you said you committed to like a full year, year and a half of, you know, I'm going to do this and put everything I have into that. How important do you think that is for individuals? Or do you think that, how do I want to word this? Maybe enough people aren't doing that and betting on themselves. How scary was that to kind of bet on yourself? Like say, I'm going to do this for a year and see if it works out.
So I'm a person that kind of likes to go all in and not really half-ass anything. Am I allowed to say that? Am I allowed to curse on here?
Yeah, you're okay. Fine. You're all fine.
Right. I don't really want to half-ass anything. So when I decided that I was going to start YouTube, I decided that I'm going to do a whole year and post a video every week for a whole entire year. And I think I maybe missed 3-4 weeks out of the whole year or so. But for what that meant to me was, if I can dedicate this much time towards something and see a little bit of a return, if I could see one person commenting here or just one positive feedback or anything to give me a glimmer of hope, that was enough for me to see that there was potential. And to be honest, if I didn't give myself that year and I only maybe lasted a month or two, I would have definitely quit because I didn't receive anything for the first month. I didn't receive anything for the second, third, fourth month. I got nothing, but I still kept at it. I didn't really care about the views. I didn't care about the thing. I just like, I still have a year. I'm going to keep going. But if I didn't set that goal for myself and just lived on what was happening in that first month or month two, I would have definitely given up because I wasn't getting essentially what I hoped for.
I would have to imagine that along the way, after that first month, 2 months, you weren't getting anything, but you fully believed in yourself. But there had to be those moments where you're like, okay, I'm a little worried, but I know I can do it. Was there anything that kind of helped you other than your confidence along the way to be like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this, even though it's not exactly where I want it to be quite yet. I still have a year, but what helped you along the way?
I think what helped me was like a personal friend of mine. If you go back to my beginning YouTube videos, he's one of the few people that are consistently in the videos. And when I first started YouTube, he was the one that was helping me with all these lighting breakdowns, like practices. He was with me like every day just doing things, and he gave me the confidence to keep going because he also saw something in me. And the fact that he was willing to work with me and he's not even in this field. He has a clothing company. He was just willing to help me out because he saw how passionate I was about this, and seeing his confidence in me kind of gave me the boost to kind of keep going.
That's great. That really is great. You don't need to have like someone you can confide in, be in the industry you're in. It helps. That definitely helps 100%, right? Because you don't have to explain stuff in super fine detail for them to understand. But having someone close to that you can confide in that gives you, you know, the feedback that you need, whether you want it or not sometimes. And just that's been a huge help for me too. I got close friends, of course, my wife and just close friends that I can confide in and be like, hey, what do you think? What do you think about this? Am I crazy for thinking this? Should I do it this way? And that is a big help. So for anyone listening, if you're struggling with whatever creative endeavor you're doing, don't be afraid to confide in somebody. There's a huge, fantastic creative community on Twitter and Instagram of other creators that are probably around the same size or maybe just past where you were at, that went through where you were at, that you could reach out to. And everyone wants to support everyone, which is what I love about the creative community. let's go back to those early videos. What were some of those early videos that you decided to make when you're like, okay, I'm a PA, I'm going to do some YouTube stuff. What were those first videos that you're like, okay, I'm going to make this?
Yeah, I think.
And why did you settle on that?
I think one of the, there was actually a video I did how important being a PA is on set. I think I made a whole video on that because I even talk about it to this day, how important being a PA is. But at that time, I think a lot of my videos were more geared towards seeing what was popular at the time. And I didn't have my own voice at the time. I didn't really know who I was. I didn't know who I wanted to be, especially on YouTube. So I was taking inspiration from multiple amounts of people on YouTube. They were doing reviews on this camera. They were doing it this type of way. They were speaking this way. So I think in the beginning for me, a lot of the stuff were based on what was popular. So it was more reviews. It was more, here's my camera build type of thing. And then I slowly got a little bit more confident in doing some lighting tutorials. And I always made it and I always made an effort to mention that in these videos where I'm doing these lighting breakdowns, these tutorials, that I, at the time, didn't really know all of the answers. I didn't really know everything at all, to be honest. And I made it a point to say that I'm creating this video to show you all that I'm just practicing, that I'm working on my craft here. Again, I don't know all the answers, but the point is that I'm just practicing. So as you follow my channel, you will be learning with me. You'll be growing with me. And I think I've gotten to the point now where I have a lot of experience that I could be more confident in the things that I say. And I think in the beginning, though, it really helped me out in my authenticity and just being honest, explaining to people that it was just me practicing.
I think that's super important. Keeping your community, your subscribers, whoever's engaged with your content, a part of your growth process. People really enjoy that. They connect to it and it helps them along the way because you mentioned starting, it was difficult to find your own voice. And I think every single person on YouTube, no matter what they're doing, has struggled with finding their own voice when they're first starting because it's just, it's not natural to sit in a room and talk to a camera all by yourself, right? It's just weird at first. And you get more comfortable, you find your voice. Was there anything in particular that helped you find your voice or was it just repetition and doing it over and over again?
I think it was repetition majority of the time, but I think I just became comfortable with who I am and who I am is this just like calm person. And I didn't know if that really vibed well with the YouTube world because when I was starting, it was a lot of like in your face talking. It was a lot of a little bit hype energy. So I think I was trying to mimic that in the beginning, but that's not even close to who I am in real life. So the more that I just felt comfortable with who, I think this also is correlates to my career and my life outside of YouTube. I started to mature a lot more in age. I started to work a lot more in the industry. I started to just gain more general confidence in myself to feel comfortable with who I truly am. So I think that mixed in with the repetition of creating these videos ended up just helping me become who I am and just helped me translate better to being this calmer person.
I love that you mentioned that because that does separate your videos. Just the super calm intros, they're not like in your face, fast paced, like super Peter McKinnon style, yeah. You know, which is like all the trend, but very just mellow, like, hey, what's up guys?
Yeah.
This is Carlo. How you doing? Hope you're doing good. Like it was just fantastic. I love it.
That's how I am in real life.
I want to dive in. You should. Who you are on YouTube should be who you are in real life. I've had the opportunity of meeting a handful of creators that have been on the podcast and they are exactly who they are on the podcast, on their YouTube channel, and in real life. And that's fantastic because your audience will pick up if you're not who you are. Like it's hard to pretend who you are, right? So it just makes creating easier if you are who you are.
On top of that, I think what I also started doing was sharing a lot of my vulnerabilities and being honest. Like, it's so easy to put yourself on a pedestal on social media and just show your best self. But what I found to be really beneficial, and I think what helped me gain a strong audience, was me sharing low points in my life and vulnerabilities that most people won't share. And I think that resonated with a lot of people, that, and people could relate to the vulnerabilities because I just wanted to make sure that people felt that they weren't alone in things, especially in film. It's a difficult field. It's a difficult path. Sharing my vulnerabilities, I think another thing that really helped me, again, just continue being authentic, because I love talking about that stuff. It's like therapy to me.
I've appreciated it. I know your audience has, and it's not about the numbers, but it's about how committed your audience is to the content you're making and making sure that your content benefits them. And so by being vulnerable, you're making beneficial content that for the people that need it, right? So it's been fantastic. I do want to ask you before we move on, as a professional DP, because I've been watching some of your behind the scenes stuff, which is fantastic. You're working on big commercials with huge crews, and the amount of time and effort it takes to get one shot that only has a few seconds in the entire ad, right? Like, I mean, some of this BTS that you're showing, I would imagine, like, between the setup and the run-throughs and waiting, like, hours for seconds of a shot that's going to be in an ad. That's a huge difference. That's just so different than making content on YouTube. But has there been any crossover that's helped you with either aspect of creating, whether it's creating professional content as a DP for production companies and big commercials and clients, and creating for your YouTube channel? What crossovers, what similarities? Because I think a lot of people focus on the differences, but what's been similar that's helped you in both aspects?
That's a good question. My initial thought is to steer away from the technical side, because I don't think the technical stuff really correlates too well. It's a whole different ball game when you're creating as a DP with that size set and something on YouTube where I'm lighting just my fiance, for example, for a lighting practice. But I think what correlates is just being true to myself and my vision, and I think communication, the way I communicate, like the way that I talk on YouTube, the way that I describe things in my talking head segments, the way that I describe how I'm lighting things is kind of how I describe things when I'm on set. It's how I talk to people on set. So I think the way that I communicate to my audience and how I communicate to my crew and my team, the director, producers, is very similar. I don't think I steer off very differently from either one of those. Hopefully that was a good answer.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I mean, just the communication skills, which is often overlooked on how you want something done and how to describe how you want it and how to do it. Again, it's something that I love that you're pointing out and making known on YouTube for creatives, because there's not really anybody else doing it. You mentioned earlier Danny was kind of your mentor. Danny's been on the show before. I'm trying to get him back on, but dude's so busy with getting married and making a movie.
Yeah.
He's supposed to come on when the movie's done.
So. I was going to say that would probably be a good time when the movie's out. He's probably going to be on a bunch of different stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to, you know, make the rounds, right? Yeah. So we're working on it. We've been in contact, but Danny's great. I absolutely love him. He, you know, even for the brief moment that I got to have some one-on-one time and talk to him, really it changed the way I approach this podcast. So I would love to hear what kind of impact he's had on your career. I know you just, you worked with him on his movie. I think you were the DP, right? Mm-hmm. Were you the DP, yeah. DP on the movie? So you worked on his movie, making his vision come to life. He was your mentor. Kind of tell me how that relationship started and how it developed and where you guys are at now.
Yeah, so I give a lot of credit to Danny all the time. He is the reason that I am who I am today, not just the DP, but the human being and like the person. Of course, you know, there's been a ton of people that have influenced my life to make me who I am, but I was at a very pivotal point in my life when I met him. I had a small production company at the time. I was kind of lost. I didn't know what I was doing. I was doing like small local business videos, just me, but I didn't see a future in that. So I kind of felt like a lost puppy at the time. And then I remember watching his videos and being so drawn to his genuine nature, his authenticity, just his kindness as well. And I remember one video, he put a tag, it was like Philadelphia or something, and I don't reach out to people very often, but I don't know what came over me, but I just sent him a message, which I'm assuming hundreds of people sent him in the message at the time, just saying like, I'd love to help behind the scenes or do whatever on a YouTube video. Just, I'd love to help. And I swear it was maybe 3 minutes later, he messaged back saying, are you available tomorrow for a project? Which was a crazy thing to happen. Like, I just sent a message, not expecting anything. And then 3 minutes later, I realized that I'm going to be on set with him the next day for a passion project he was doing. So that was kind of the start to our relationship. And I helped him do a lot of behind the scenes on the YouTube stuff. And he also was grateful enough to bring me on to actual commercial work. So I was able to network and meet a lot of people in the Philadelphia area. I was also able to meet other producers and directors from all across the country from the projects that he was working on as a DP, because at that time he was a full-time DP. He didn't do YouTube full-time or was a director. He was a DP. And being on set with him allowed me to see the communication that goes on set. It allowed me to see what a DP really does. And he opened my eyes to a bigger world and got me so excited about what the future could be if I wanted to commit to this. And I knew that this was what I was missing. I loved visual storytelling. I loved holding a camera, but I didn't know what a DP was. I never even heard of one at the time. So yeah, he opened my eyes to all of that. He showed me how to be a really good person on set. Because over the years, I was also a PI on a bunch of different other sets, and I got to see how other DPs work, and some I didn't really like their attitudes or something, but Danny showed me that you could be a really talented DP and also be a very good, kind, genuine human being, which is very important to me. It's how I was raised by my parents, was to be a very kind person, be a very good, hardworking man. So he was an example of that as well. So that just strengthened my original perception on how I wanted to be in life. And then he moved to Hawaii, and at this time, I was a bit more of a DP. I was getting a lot more work. I was a little bit more proficient in my career. And then as he's in Hawaii doing his thing, full-time YouTube, I seem to be growing a lot more rapidly at this time, YouTube and DP career simultaneously. So it was a really great time for me and my career. And then he got to see some of the stuff that I was doing. And yeah, when he came back to shoot his feature, I'm not sure how deep you want to get into this feature conversation.
No, let's leave that for Danny, right? But you can talk about your experience on set.
I ended up through some happenstance that goes on during the feature, I ended up getting brought on as a DP. And that was kind of like a full circle moment for me, being able to do that for him as his first feature. I think at the end of the movie, when we shot the last scene, it was so late. It was just him and I. And I think I pulled him to the side. I think we just cried in each other's arms for like 10 minutes. It was just a really special moment. And he really does mean a lot to me.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I could imagine, just that moment at the end, two good friends who have come a long way together, fulfilling one of, you know, each other's dream, right? He's been working on this for so long. And what a great opportunity to be a part of that with your close friend, your mentor that's contributed so much to who you are and your career. So, man, that's great. And I know he for sure appreciated it. Knowing Danny, you know, he's probably just over the moon about it, just absolutely stoked. I was watching your latest video last night, and this kind of goes along with the topic we're talking about, because you mentioned, and the whole theme of that video, my takeaway, and it's the takeaway I think you want everybody to have, is how important relationships are. No matter what you're doing, right? Relationships are important, but especially, you know, if you want to succeed as a DP or whatever your position is on set, and even YouTube, we were talking about that before I hit record, how important relationships are. Just being a full-time creative too, because you can have all the gear in the world, you can know how to work it, but if you don't have the relationships with people, you're not going to succeed. How important, I mean, we're getting a sense of it when you talk about Danny, but when you came to Philly, how important was it for you to develop these relationships because there are a lot of people that know how to do what you do, but how have relationships impacted what you do, and why do you think it is people choose you over someone else because of that relationship?
Like I said in my video, and you touched upon it a bunch, it is for me the most important thing in film as a DP is relationships. It's how I get hired. It's the recommendations you get from other people, because someone might want to work with you, but they've never worked with you, so they don't know what you're like, but they'll reach out to a colleague that has. And if they give a good recommendation, that's a great opportunity for you to work with a new person. But you wouldn't get that recommendation without having a good relationship with that person. And, you know, like you said, there's so many DPs out there. There's so many people that know how to light so well. Beautiful compositions, amazing ideas on camera movement. But some people lack honesty. Some people lack kindness. Some people lack patience. And I think I said this before about my parents, but my parents raised me in a way that they instilled respect so early on in my life that it's just a vital part to who I am. And, you know, I want to be the person on set that people want to call back because they just had such a good time with. You're on set with people for 12 hours, 10 hours, 14 hours a day. And you could be so talented at your job, but if you're not like a pleasure to work with on set, no one is going to want to spend 12 more hours on set with you. So I want to be the person that is equally talented, but also a very good person to be around. And that relationship doesn't just correlate to the producers or director. It also stems to my crew as well. Because your crew, they're your backbone, essentially. They're the people that make the vision happen. And you know that as a DP, your crew is there to support you. But I always want to make it a point that my crew knows that I'm also there to support them as well, and that I have their backs. Because when they trust you, they are willing to work so much harder to get the job done and get it done well because they have that relationship with you, because they trust you, because they respect you as a person. So no matter who it is, if it's a PA running coffee or if it's the executive producer, I don't really shift my persona. I just keep a general high level of respect, high level of kindness to all people. And it even goes as simple as you're wrapped on set. The next morning, you send a thank you email. You send a thank you text to every one of your crew members. It's those small details that people forget or people don't realize that you should do, but it's those small details that I think matter and I think leave a lasting impact.
Yeah, that's great advice, because it is the little details that really go above and beyond for people to show that you really care about them. And I agree, when people feel that you're invested in them and that you appreciate the work they're bringing to the table, they are willing to work a lot harder. And I mean, that goes for everyone listening, that goes with anything you're doing, right? You just got to build those relationships, because I have plenty of clients where, you know, maybe the relationship's not the best because they're a pain to work with. And like, yeah, they're, you know, they bring good work to the table, like for me, and the money's good, but like every time it comes, it's like, right? Because they're a pain to deal with, or they don't appreciate your work. And it goes both ways, whether you're dealing with clients, whether you're dealing with people that you're collaborating with. You got to build good relationships and show that you value each other. So I think that's key. You in that video, you mentioned how you reached out to people to start building that relationship. And you got to take that initial step forward. I love that video. So everyone listening or watching, you definitely got to go check it out, because I think, again, it's one of those videos where there's not a lot of people talking about it, but it's super impactful and super important for everyone that wants to succeed. You also mentioned on how you deal with no, because not everyone got back to you that wanted to, you know, you wanted to get a bite to eat and get to know them to try to make contacts in the Philly community. How did you deal with no? Because no is going to come up a lot more than yes. Even when you're successful, no comes up a lot more than yes. So how did you deal with that? Because I think that's helpful for people.
I think dealing with no is something that you have to work on. It's not something that you It's not something that maybe you're born with, is to be able to deal with something like that. But for me, in my personal experience, I've been dealing with potential no's and rejection since I was a kid. I was an athlete my whole life, and being the shortest, smallest kid on the field at all times, when I wanted to try out for new teams, when I wanted to try to step up, I'd always get looked upon like this little kid, this little, like I couldn't be able to compete. So people never really looked at me. So I always had to go above and beyond to prove to people that gave me that initial no, to prove them wrong. And I think a lot of my mentality is not taking the no's as a final answer from these people, but I look at them as kind of like a stop sign, or like a yield, or like a speed bump. Whereas that no is never a hard, fast no. It can change to a yes, but you just might need to prove yourself to that person before they say yes. And I think a lot of people look at no's like a hard, fast, that's it. No, they're never going to work with you again. But that's not the case. And I could tell you so many times that those people that said no or didn't even respond to me, I'm now working with. And if I didn't work hard, or if I didn't reach back out to them as I progress to show them that I'm getting better, that I'm this new person now, then I would have never worked with them if I just gave up. So I think my advice is just don't look at that no as a final no. That no can always change to a yes.
100%. I grew up with a sales background. Like when I first started, you know, working, and then I moved into marketing, and now I'm doing photography and videography full time. It's a wide range of skills, but you know, in sales, I always had this mindset, like, okay, if someone said no, it just means not yet. Like it's not a hard, fast stop, right? I just haven't found a reason to have you say yes yet. And I just got to work harder to find a reason for you to say yes. And that, I think that travels to this too, right? It's, they're not saying no. They are saying no, but don't take it as a hard stop. Just continue to work harder and find a reason for them to say yes moving forward. This has been a great conversation. I was looking at your YouTube channel this morning, right before we jumped on this call. You're at just over 20,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is insane. It's fantastic. Yeah. 113 videos, which 20K at 113 videos is, that's fast. That's fast. You're doing great. It might not feel fast.
I could see that. It does not feel like it, to be honest with you.
It feels like it takes forever.
Yeah, it does. I mean, just hearing that number 20,000, it means so much because of that beginning point in YouTube where it took me almost a year to get to 1,000. That was like the hardest stretch. And now to be able to see where it's at in the community that has been built from it, it's just, it's really special.
And the reason I bring this up is I took a little screenshot from your latest video, and here it is here. I'm not sure if you can see it on your end, but everyone watching can. On the left, for anyone listening, we got Carlo with just like his mirrorless camera in a cage with the Rode mic and a little monitor. Then on the right, I'm pretty sure this camera is bigger than you.
It was heavier than me too.
It's ginormous. If you had to go back and tell that one, that, you know, the Carlo on the left, something to keep him motivated and to keep going, or to do something different, I have to ask, because I love this picture. What would you go back and tell him?
Dream big, dream bigger, work hard, but be patient. There's a saying that I like to tell myself is to be patiently impatient. And I think that resonates really well with me because I get a lot of anxiety from things that may never happen, or things I'm waiting for something to happen.
I feel that. It happens to me all the time.
I think a lot of people do, and I talk about this a lot too. So I would definitely tell myself to just be a little bit more patient and know that good things are coming. Good things will happen if you continue to be true to yourself, be respectful, be a kind person, be honest, be generous as well. And I found that I've gotten a lot more because of how much more I give out. So be a generous person, and just work your ass off.
Yep.
Work hard.
And then I love that you mentioned, you know, you're going to get back tenfold what you put out, right? So just work hard, put as much effort as you can into something. And that includes the relationships, right? Because you're going to get back tenfold because people are going to appreciate that. So to wrap things up, because I don't want to take up too much of your time today, your YouTube channel, fantastic. It'll be linked down below for anybody who wants to go check it out. But one last thing I want to hear about and give you a chance to plug is you also have a podcast that you recently started. How many episodes are you in on the podcast?
I think, so I did 9 guest episodes and then 4 solo episodes, I believe now. Or 5 solo episodes. Yeah. So it's fairly new still.
You're past the pod fade hump of 7 episodes. So that's good because most people fade out before 7 episodes or some at 7.
Yeah, the thing is I'm working my podcast how I worked my YouTube. I'm not setting hard goals for myself in the beginning, or I'm not putting too much pressure on myself in the beginning, because if I do, I feel like I would just give up if I'm not accomplishing that goal that I set. I'm just having fun with it. I enjoy. The reason why I started the podcast was because I'm a young kid. I'm 24. So when I'm on set with all of these people, majority of the time they're dads. They're 30 years old, 40 years old. They're people that are a lot older than me with much more life experience. And I get to have conversations with these people all the time. And they enlighten me on so many things, on how to be a good husband, how to be a good brother, father, just man in general. And I wanted to take those experiences that I get on set and be able to share those with people. And just that was kind of the initial idea behind the podcast, was to just bring people on that inspire me, that I get to work with, and people that are at a kind of similar level as I am. So it's a little bit more relatable maybe to some people. But yeah, I'm just having fun. I'm having fun with it.
How's that experience going for you? I mean, other than having fun, like, because you come from a camera background, podcasting somewhat different because you're dealing with audio, and a lot of camera people are afraid to mess with audio because it's a whole nother world. Are you trying to like get the most quality, or are you just trying to get it done and keep it streamlined as simple as possible? Cause I see you're using the Rode mic, pod mic, fantastic microphone. Kind of give me the behind the scenes of the production of that.
So I think I'm a balance between wanting the highest quality versus wanting to just kind of streamline everything. Before I started in film, I was a DJ, music producer, and audio engineer for 5 years. I went to school for that. But there's still certain things that are kind of a pain, to be honest, about the podcast that I'm trying to work on streamlining. But I try my best to make it as good as I can.
I love it. It's good. And even with some of your guests that you've had on, I might have to poach because I'm like, oh, they would be, I want to have them on because you just recently had, I think it was Ryan Coe, right? And he's got a very cool story. I love his journey on YouTube, and he talks about in some of his videos, a lot of stuff that you talk about, a little bit of behind the scenes, just the mental impact being a creative has and being on YouTube has on you, and also trying to balance it with, you know, trying to go beyond just the creative aspect of YouTube and moving into the professional DP realm. And he would be great to have on the show. So I might have to reach out to him and be like, hey.
Yeah, definitely. He's great.
I need to poach him. That was great. Well, Carlo, thanks for coming on the show, man. This has been great.
I'm a huge fan
of what you're doing and putting out there. And I was super excited when you responded and was like, yeah, I've heard of your podcast. I would love to come on. So thank you so much, man. Thank you. Stay on. I want to talk some more afterwards briefly, but thanks again. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I really did. I mean, Carlo brings so much to the table, so definitely go check out his podcast. Go check out his YouTube channel. You will not regret it. It'll be one of those that you watch each and every week when he puts content out there. You guys are going to enjoy it. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. However you consume the podcast, if you guys are thinking about starting your own podcast and you're going to do a video version, you're going to have guests on, I cannot recommend more that you look into Ecamm, especially if you're a Mac user. Ecamm is only for Macs, but it is an amazing program, and I could not create the podcast at the quality that I want without this application. So definitely go check it out. It'll be linked down in the description. There'll be a coupon code for you guys to save 15% if you want to check out Ecamm Live. Don't let the live throw you off, because rarely do I use Ecamm Live to actually go live mainly just to record, but it's a great application. So go check it out if you want to. But as always, again, I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate you watching. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, do me a favor, scroll down, leave a 5-star rating, leave a little review if you want to. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you guys next week.